former CIC man grinned and said, "Very good." So somehow by that remark, I imply that this was kind of a, you know, I know something that you guys don't, and it affects national security, so we're not going to tell you. That's the way I interpret they wrote it. Because the rest of it just kind of recounts the way we did business, even when I came in OSI 20 years after that.
All right. You think they're talking about me there, the former CIC man?
Yeah.
So, but if I said that, I... I probably said it really meaning that if these guys trying to make a buck, writing a sensational book, run into something really affecting national security, I meant for them, don't put it in a book.
Oh yeah, okay.
Turn it over to somebody.
But you weren't implying that this incident affected national security and you weren't going to talk about
it. Oh, no.
Okay.
No way.
Let's move that out of your way so you can move your feet a little.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you. I see you have some materials that you brought out here. That looks like your basic, is that one of your basic agent classes there?
No, that was the old District Office 17 OSI.
Oh, okay.
So this is after. Carl Flock sent me that. I got it out, but Flock sent it to me. This is Rickett.
Okay.
And that's Jack Williams. And that's old Cavite on the lower left.
Oh, okay.
Lower right. That's me. And these were the two boys that were with me there at Roswell. And it has them all identified and who's no longer with us. Oh, this thing that Flock sent me, this picture, it says Jack Williams is deceased.
Huh.
He's the other.
So,
I was wondering why somebody didn't contact him. I didn't even know he was dead. We were not friends. He was a staff sergeant and a good, honest kid, I think.
A smart guy.
What?
He really was quite intelligent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he read books while he was on road trip.
Well, the names I recognize from here that were still are Doyle Rees and John Stahl.
Doyle is still alive. I have a letter from him.
I think he's in the Association of Former OSI Agents.
Yeah, right.
And I'm also a member of that, so I see a lot of their letters and stuff and pictures that they sent.
We get correspondent Doyle at Christmas time. Cab called him not long ago. He had a hole in one on his 80th birthday.
Oh, is that right? Was that his first one?
I'm sure it was.
Nice.
He's a nice man. He has a nice family. What the date on that is? A letter from Doyle. It says, when you call a press conference to tell the world, let me know, as I want to be there. So, I've just got reams of this stuff and books.
Do you mind if I look through that real quick?
Oh, heavens no.
See, I've...
Right from that nut up in Freeburg, Stan...
Oh, Stanton T. Friedman?
Friedman or whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't like me a lot. He writes me
nasty letters. He called me a couple of times. One time I could hear him a little bit, but it wasn't good enough for me to try to strain my brain, so he apologizes in a letter he wrote me back and said, sorry we had a bad telephone connection.
Okay.
On your end.
Okay, here's the stuff about Schiff that I referenced earlier of him asking the GAO to look at this.
Uh-huh.
Carl Flock.
No, you can look at any of that. You can have copies. As a matter of fact, I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Oh, your sons want it.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay.
Joe said last night, maybe Dan will have something to say. Joe wants you to make a fortune out of being a hero.
Well, Well, if I wanted to make a little money, I could have imagined a lot of things, cooperated more.
Well, that's what Doyle
these
said.
These authors and so forth. I could have been getting royalties for a long time.
Oh, this was out of the Global Reliance. I don't remember seeing this in there. Oh, Carl Flock wrote this for the Global Reliance. This the Global.
Clipping.
This one on Rickett here?
Yeah.
No, I never saw this.
What that's from.
But at least one surviving member of the recovery team actually handled material remains of all what he saw. 82-year-old Lewis Rickett. Cabot had been there the day before, but he wouldn't tell me what was going on until we got there. With armed troops standing guard, Rickett wandered through the security phalanx and saw metallic debris scattered in an outer circle with a diameter of 25, 30, or 40 feet.
Yeah, I think Rick sort of flipped a little bit. And see, this was something that the interview he had shortly before he died, I think.
Well, when they interviewed Rick, he was older, and trying to make people remember things that happened 15 years ago is pretty hard to.
Received an awful lot more than that, Rick, and threw it away. Sorry.
Yeah, so these people have pretty much been tracking you down on a regular basis then.
Oh, yes. Mary can verify that. She said she'd been home when she got the telephone call.
I've talked to some of these fellows myself.
Yeah. If I'm not here, well, she'd talk to them. They blabber away, and she gives it right down the line. I don't know, have they ever tried to influence you to say that I'm lying or holding anything out?
No, I just tell them that she's just telling the truth.
They don't believe you when you tell the truth.
I guess they don't. That's the problem that we have with this whole line of inquiry and attempting to look this. It's very hard to prove a negative. It's hard to prove that something didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't document stuff that doesn't happen.
No, it's pretty hard to. Difficult. But a good imagination can.
But
these boys have it.
You know, the picture that was in the Roswell paper, as I said, we had just gotten there, so we probably had to start even subscribing to it, but nobody passed it around, and
well, let me tell you what's in the official records that we found so far, just so you'll have a feel.
Please do. Tell me I'm clean.
we did this as investigators would, logically, as we figured where would this stuff be. And we went to all the different records, and working for me, I have a group of reservists who are declassification experts, but they're excellent researchers. They spend their whole time dealing with records.
Uh-huh.
So these people know where all this stuff's buried. So we've been to all the major record centers, to the archives, to we've been through nuclear records, ranging from unclassified to TS nuclear stuff. Because the 509th was the only nuclear unit in the world at that time. And so some of the records were TS and still are, because they've never been declassified. anyway, we found that this was, there was no airplane crash that could account for this. Just to show you how unsafe it was to fly at that time, there were 6 airplane crashes in less than a month in New Mexico alone in 1947. That didn't include the rest of the United States. We were lucky to have 6. And
remind me to double back on that. Go ahead with your story and I'll tell you another little story.
We found no indication of a V-2 launch that it's not accounted for. There was one scheduled on the 3rd of July, and that was scrubbed. There was no indication that there was some sort of nuclear accident at the time where we either dropped a weapon or, you know, did something stupid, which, you know, we had to consider during that period of time. There's no indication of any of that happening. And weather balloons themselves are not, although they have a return to type of thing on them, they're supposed to crash. I mean, they go up and then they, sooner or later they're going to come down, right? Now what we did find, however, and I'm not implying that this is what you saw out there, but it's a possibility, is there was a project run by New York University out of Holloman at that time. It was a balloon experiment that lasted for years, but at the time a portion of it was top secret. It's since been declassified. It was called Project Mogul, M-O-G-U-L.
Never heard of it.
And Mogul was designed to run balloons at very high altitudes with extremely sensitive acoustic sensors. What we were looking for was nuclear tests on the part of the Russians, because we thought the Russians had gotten the bomb.
Right.
So you needed to get high enough and far enough so, and at a constant altitude so we could see if there, because there's no satellites or anything that, you know, determines sensors, or to hold sensors. So they had a couple Mogul balloons, and several of those are unaccounted for during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are very large in the sense that some of them were up to 600 feet long, not one gigantic balloon, but a series of balloons, because as they went up to altitude, some of them broke off and some of them dropped ballast, and they're very sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of tinfoil on them and a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
Mogul is a possibility.
It's a good idea.
And we found a couple of the researchers that from New Mexico that we're in contact with now, because they kept private records in some regards. But of course, that was a top secret project at the time, and we don't know if Blanchard knew about that or not. We don't have any indication that he did, and that they used the weather balloon in an attempt to cover up the other balloon, which was a classified project.
Yeah, that's possible. I didn't know about that particular thing. I just knew of weather balloons, and they went up and measured the wind current. And this was my first impression, so I didn't know anything else, so okay, that's it, forget it. The thing that disturbed me is why they cannot shoot down this story about the little bodies and so forth that were allegedly taken to or Wright Pat or some place and put in a sealed deals and so forth. And the only thing, Rick might have gotten confused about something. You mentioned crashes. We had one there at Roswell. You know, they practiced this air-to-air refueling, which was just, I think, just getting into real high-tech stuff.
With the B-29s?
Yeah. And they were refueling them. And we had one tragic as hell deal where the plane that was being refueled, for some reason or another, pitched up when they were either getting ready to attach the filler tube, or the other one came down, which doesn't sound logical. I think it's more apt to went up. And one or both of those planes crashed. And I forget what direction it was out from Roswell. But I went out to that crash at the request of Marcel or maybe Blanchard. And I probably took Rickett with me. And we had bodies all over the place, and it was a sad thing. we recovered some fingers. Of course, there was one hell of a big fire that could happen. I collected a bunch of hands and fingers and so forth, trying to identify them. Well, at the time, I thought it was sort of stupid. They had a list back at the operation office who were on the crews and so forth. Other than identify body parts so that some guy's wife would know that she had part of her used to be former husband. And I don't remember where we sent those things for identification. I remember going to the office after that and trying to get prints off of these old shriveled up fingers and so forth. What good it would do, I don't know, and I didn't know then, but I was wondering if maybe Rick got confused that maybe this was some of the UN bodies. I doubt it, but it's just a possibility. But I don't know why they can't trace down those bodies if they do.
Well, see, that's the ultimate part of the quote cover-up that we're involved in. You and I think would probably think as OSI agents that if you recovered a body of anything that's unusual, that would generate a whole bunch of paperwork. I mean, we're a paperwork society. I mean, it may be classified with a bazillion stamps on it, but it would generate a lot of study and things. And we have not been able to locate one piece of anything to indicate that's so.
Well, it boggles my mind that we would not be able to find anything. The Air Force having the... Well, we were close knit. I mean, it just seemed that there's got to be a trail that you could pick up and eventually end up there in that crypt or whatever they put these bodies in.
But did you ever hear any talk of that type of stuff when you were at Roswell?
Down there?
Yeah. No. When did all this first surface in your life, you know, after you picked up the original stuff and then you went on to your career, when did the UFO part first surface in your life?
You mean this sort of stuff?
Yes. It was with Berlitz and Moore?
Probably about that.
Excuse me. Oh, our son sent this book to us.
Yeah, this is 1980, I think. Yeah, 1980.
See, a lot of that has been debunked by the other two guys.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember where Joe got over this book.
They bought it, and he came.
And he came by here.
He came by to see us. We just got back from fishing, and you had one of your cluster headaches, and I did most of the talking here because Cam was like he's been having lately the cluster headaches.
I'm on another. Cycle of cluster headaches.
I understand, those are really painful.
Similar to migraines. I'm about to come out of it, although I had one last night, and I was awake all night long.
Don't you think that's it?
That,
don't you
that
think
must
that we
have been
never given it a thought?
I haven't had time.
Until Mr. Moore Company showed up then around 1980 time frame.
September 82 that he was here.
Oh, okay. Now, from my research, not of Air Force records, but of popular literature records, Friedman is the guy who ran into Marcel down in Louisiana in 1978, because Friedman's been a UFO researcher for years.
Yeah.
And he ran into Marcel, and from his interview of Marcel, that got Berlitz and Moore interested, and that's when Marcel then started talking to all these different people. And then it's kind of grown from that.
Well, and then of course, you see, it's too bad that apparently, little Jesse was about 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam never told me anything. He knew he wasn't said, I'll never tell you anything, then you won't spread anything. And we always wondered how them Jesse do so much. To us, should have been business.
Uh-huh.
And V.O., apparently...
Marcel's wife.
Marcel's wife. Apparently, is still living, but was not able to give any information.
Mm-hmm.
After Jesse died. Jesse Cedar.
Right. Well, I know that the son is mentioned in a number of publications because he claims his dad brought this stuff to his house and they hammered on it. And
right.
Which I remember seeing.
He was smart little devil, his son.
Well, he's a doctor, I think.
Yeah, yeah, in Montana.
I don't know. He's a PhD type of doctor or a medical doctor.
I thought he was a medical doctor.
He's MD, but V.O. was, his mother was, she had microscopes or whatnot, or how she was a medical type technician.
Oh, I see.
Before. Uh-huh. Before she had Jesse.
They were a smart family. I always thought that Marcel was just a little on the outer scale.
Since you were friends with both Marcel and Rickett, excuse me, is there any explanation you could give that they would, in your mind, since you knew them, tell these stories and get this interest generated?
No.
I wouldn't think purposely, would you, Darren?
No,
I would think
not purposely, no. I gave you a little insight on about Rick. He could sit and tell stories.
Great people, and they were visited by a lot of people, more than we were. Handier to some people being in Florida where they were, and she would write on cards, so-and-so has been here and so-and-so has been here, but I don't think purposely they try to make up tales for being heroes or glorify anything.
Well, let me ask you officially for the record, did you take any kind of security oath or promise or sign anything or verbally agree to anything not to talk about any of this that occurred in New Mexico?
No, I told you that a while ago.
Okay.
I'll take an oath on that.
Okay.
I'll swear it.
Has anybody in the U.S. government or the Air Force or anyhow connected with the government ever threatened you if you said anything about any of these incidents, that something would happen to you or your family or anybody else?
No.
Okay.
No way. Nope. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. And I've told all of these other people the truth that I don't know any more than what I've told them. And I don't know anything about any little man or anything.
Excuse me.
I'm a pretty stupid person, I say. I don't know anything.
Well, I appreciate you know, having to ask you some of these questions, even after you told me that.
I know you have to.
But we wanted to do this officially, because as near as we can tell, nobody ever has before. And
I certainly wish you good luck. I hope you can convince these people.
Well, it's going to be difficult because, like I say, we have nothing other than this one formerly classified project that was occurring out there at the same time that was even a little bit funny, if you will.
Yeah. And had I known about it, Rick, at that time, I would have probably hooked it up with that instead of a weather balloon.
But a balloon is, A balloon is basically a balloon. Some of them are bigger and some of them are smaller. But
some do some things, some do others.
One of the things that they mentioned, just going back to the balloons for a minute, was what Marcel called hieroglyphics, but was something that was written or printed on some of the debris. Do you recall any of that?
No, no, but I, in reading over some of my other garbage here, I've seen some hieroglyphics. I don't think there were any claimed to be with the Roswell deal, were there?
Marcel claimed it.
Marcel says so.
However, the day after the original Flying Saucer article in the Roswell paper, there was a follow-up article where they interviewed Brazel, the rancher.
Uh-huh.
And he described this stuff similar to what you did as like almost like balsa wood type of sticks tinfoil type of things. And then he said some of this had what appeared to be scotch tape with little purple flowers stamped on it. And apparently at that time, as near as we can tell, one of the balloon manufacturers did use a type of tape that had some sort of flowers on it.
Oh.
That it's possible, I guess, somebody could mistake
it. I do not remember anything like that.
I think there's a picture of one of these deals.
Well, some of these authors, Mary, you got to remember, they'll skip from the Roswell incident to something that happened someplace else in the United States, and they get a little confusing. You just read through it. I remember sometimes in hieroglyphics. Not on that one. I did not see anything. But I don't remember any writing at all on the thing. But if Marcel saw some, maybe he did.
Did you know Hout, Lieutenant Hout, who was the public affairs guy at the time?
What was he, base information or something of that sort. Not close at all. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even describe him. I got a picture of a tall fella, and I didn't know much about him at all.
Is there anything else that you can recall or like to add?
I've been thinking about it ever since you called and said you were coming out.
It's a shame that Dave Don Yeager was in the office with Jess.
Yeah.
At the time.
Is he dead now?
I don't know.
But he wouldn't know a thing, Mary. He wouldn't know
Wouldn't have known anything with Jesse?
No. Jesse didn't trust Don very much. I wouldn't want this plenty further, but his wife was a dipsomaniac, and Don was right on her trail. he was trying to keep up, couldn't. He just wasn't a reliable sort of an individual.
So Jess probably wouldn't have.
No, I don't think he'd even talked to Don about it. There was another captain in the intelligence office at the time who I always thought was a real sharp individual. His name, I don't remember his first name, but Carl was his first, McAmer. He ended up as a full colonel.
We gave Randall their names. We gave every name we could think of.
Carl might be dead now. I always thought he was a pretty smart
Carl
individual.
Carl was the last we knew it.
Somewhere up north, wasn't he?
Hawaii, last we do, but see, he's our generation. He would have retired.
Did he switch over to the Air Force too when?
Who, McAmer?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was in the 8th Air Force.
Yeah. Okay.
See, he was in the.
So when you all just went over to the U.S. Air Force when it formed in September.
Well, he went right along with the 8th Air Force becoming USA. Yeah. We being up OSI, well.
He was always Air Force. I mean, he was not Army CIC, or was he? No,
Matt
Carl.
Carl wasn't even in CIC. He was just in the intelligence office there. He was under Marcel, who was under Blanchard, who was under Ramey. and that's the gentleman's name over right there.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Roger Raymer.
Right. In fact, they named the base after him, the SAC base in Puerto Rico after him.
God, the things that Ramey and Blanchard used to do. I read Blanchard came over to the Philippines. I think he was IG in 1963 or 4, and I was district commander of the OSI district. 42 in the Philippines. And we had a few chuckles together.
And you were in guard once when we were, you know, someplace that Ramey was, and I were dinner partners. Maybe it was in Greece. You were one of your many trips.
In some place.
Blanchard was the IG, you're right. He was about that time.
He and Ramey, I don't know what he was after Commander of the Air Force. But he and Blanchard, Ramey, they used to have some little drunken draws there. Paul Walker, I'll tell you. Well, one time they went into Roswell and to bring a couple of girls of ill repute.
Is this on?
Yeah. Well, they're both along with us.
Don't let this go any further. And the Air Police wouldn't let them on the base with these girls. Oh, Lord. I knew these guys pretty well. No, I don't know anything about any Christ spaceships. I don't know anything about any good man. All I did was leave.
And I'm quite sure that we never gave it a thought until that book.
I'll tell you what, if you can indulge me for a few minutes and let me set up my computer, do you mind signing a statement? I'll make it very short because I have this.
Sure, you betcha.
And we'll just make a kind of a quick summary statement, if you can bear with my computer skills here.
I'll even prick my finger and sign it in blood.
Well, we can work that. I don't think we'll require that. Yes, ma'am.
Rick, it always seems funny to us that with all these things, if these things happen, how can 30 or even 3 people keep something a secret?
Well, I'd kind of like to know how they did it, because in my real job, we handle all the special programs that do keep all the secrets, and we'd like to figure out how they're able to do it so we could duplicate it, because it's really hard to keep secrets, as you well know. Yeah.
But you see, I'm talking about civilians and other people who are in on these bodies going to the morgue and all that. You can't tell me that some grave digger from the funeral home or whatever you might
have. Of course, Randall and Schmidt do claim that those people are out there and that they've interviewed them. They list a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Now, we're not trying to go after them to undo every interview they've done, because that's not our point. In fact, you're the only person that we've gone out and interviewed, because you're always reputed to be the guy, one of the two or three people that was there picking up the stuff. And
he's the only one who's still living.
That's right.
And that's what Doyle Reeves said on his postcard, Christmas card. He said, you better keep this going. You can't stop good because you're the last one. And if anybody dislikes publicity, it is he.
But as you were just saying, these people, Lord, all of these guards.
You know, he claims to...
Some are still around.
Yeah, they claim to have interviewed a number of these people and said that they did guard something, and there were a number of flights. Now, we've never found the flight records to substantiate that, so I don't know where they have, if they have.
They're crew chiefs on the airplanes that are making these flights. They went with them. Flight engineers.
It will be interesting for you to get Randall and Schmidt's last book.
Their later book. They promise they're going to take it easy on me.
Well, I've tried to find a copy, because among the other things that have happened is that the people keep changing the dates of when things happen.
And sites.
Yeah, and that makes it very difficult when you're trying to track down records of, you know, if you're looking between this period of time and all of a sudden they change the period of time.
Well, when they came here about 14 months ago, except right there, we became good friends down to Sierra Vista, and we tell them everything we know, honestly, and give them, we gave them lots of names. And they sat down and said, we have something new, something different. Something happened that wasn't at this site, and it was not at the same day.
Yeah, and that's what I understand.
So you can have one of your researchers get that book and research that.
You're well aware of the good guy, the bad guy approach of an interrogation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Well, I got a perfect example of this with Randall and Smith. Randall is the outgoing, buddy-buddy type, and this Smith, he'd sit over there and he'd look at me like this. While Randall's asking me a question, I'm asking, that guy sitting over there looking at me like, you lying cur. Particularly down in Sierra Vista. It just grated on me.
Haven't done that a time or two yourself, you'd know what he's doing.
Not really.
But they're right.
Let him type up this deal that I've...
Yeah, I don't want to take up all of your...
We have all day.
Look,
I'll go down and get a hamburger.
If you don't mind, if you got a plug-in over by the table, I need two plug-ins to make this thing...
You need two?
One for the computer and one for the power supply.
Okay. All right, let's see.
So that's possible. Although the cords are a lot longer than this one, hopefully.
Where'd be the best place to
do it? In fact, I could probably do it.
Out in here now.
Well, your cords are not all that long.
I could probably set it
is
right.
Is that tape recorder still running?
Yeah, let me shut the tape recorder off now. It's about 12:30 here on the 24th.
Well, you're not interrupting anything on us.
Okay.
I'm having a...
Well, we'll just do this, and I'll make it a short one that just kind of summarizes what we've already talked about.
Good. You must